Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I'm Bill Knight, and yeah, it's another day, all right.
Sure is. Did you happen to watch, Bill, any of the January 6th committee yesterday and their surprise witness?
Well, you know, I saw some of the surprise witness interviews. It obviously wasn't such a big surprise because they did it beforehand. And I sat there, and my first thought was, who is she? Cassidy, yeah. Hopalong Cassidy here. That's number one. What's the back? It is number two. All her claims. Mm-hmm. I did read post of, I will never in my life unsee all that food on the wall.
And yeah, but see,
Trump's temper tantrum. I got to ask a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
The question is, let's just say, and I'm not saying he wasn't justified, considering William Barr got $24 million from Dominion beforehand. So him to sit there and go, oh, there's no election fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Empty your frickin' pockets and tell me that. But this woman is sitting there going, oh yeah, he had this tantrum. Why are we just hearing about it now? Why didn't you hear about it back then? And if I was in that room, whether I love Trump or not, I would say, oh, that's a picture right there. And that would be all over the place.
But not only that, Bill, how about interviewing the people who were there when he quote, threw the plate? I mean, she walked in afterwards and was told by a valet that he had been angry and tossed his plate or something like that. Well, like you said, quite frankly, I might have tossed my plate too. But it's hearsay. It's a valet. And why wasn't the valet being interviewed in front of the January 6th committee? Why wasn't he testifying?
Well, all of this right now is what we've said before. It is to get people to go, and change votes. They know they're in trouble. They're already predicting, because of Roe v. Wade, a blue wave. Yeah, it's going to ignite everybody.
Yeah, right.
But the polls don't say it, but they are going to clamor to it. And, you know, I know you got some audio there, so I'm not even going to say who's on her horse and getting to ride in to the rescue.
Well, I got
to
tell you,
Lady Godiva.
Before I play that audio that you're talking about, Cassidy Hutchinson also talked about an incident in the limo, in the Beast. Okay, the operative two words are the Beast. And she wasn't in the Beast. She heard this from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another friend. Remember that song? Heard it from a friend who heard it from
heard
a friend.
Heard it from a friend who.
Yep, exactly.
Heard it from a friend you've been messing around.
And she sure has.
REO
anyway,
Speedwagon.
Here is what Cassidy Hutchinson said.
When I returned to the White House, I walked upstairs towards the chief of staff's office, and I noticed Mr. Renato lingering outside of the office. Once we had made eye contact, he quickly waved me to go into his office, which was just across the hall from mine. When I went in, he shut the door, and I noticed Bobby Engel, who is the head of Mr. Trump's security detail, sitting in a chair, just looking somewhat discombobulated and a little lost. And I looked at Tony, and he had said, did you effing hear what happened in the Beast? I said, no, Tony, I just got back. What happened? Tony proceeded to tell me that when the president got in the Beast, he was under the impression from Mr. Meadows that the off-the-record movement to the Capitol was still possible and likely to happen, but that Bobby had more information. So once the president had gotten into the vehicle with Bobby, he thought that they were going up to the Capitol, and when Bobby had relayed to him, we're not, we don't have the assets to do it, it's not secure, we're going back to the West Wing. The president had a very angry response to that. Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. To which Bobby responded, sir, we have to go back to the West Wing. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel and when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
And was Mr. Engel in the room as Mr. Renato told you this story?
He was.
Did Mr. Engel correct or disagree with any part of the story for Mr. Renato?
Mr. Engel did not correct or disagree with any part of the story.
Did Mr. Engel or Mr. Renato ever after that tell you that what Mr. Renato had just said was untrue?
Neither Mr. Renato nor Mr. Engel told me ever that it was untrue.
Sounds like bad dialogue from an Adam Schiff film script. But this is something that came out this morning. That was her testimony yesterday. And by the way, she was beautifully coiffed. She was wearing some nice clothes. She was poised. She had been coached about the testimony. They even said that they changed her lawyer like a few days ago. And she had been prepped for this testimony. This came out this morning from NBC News, not a friend of Donald Trump by any stretch of the imagination, from White House correspondent Peter Alexander. A source close to the Secret Service tells me both Bobby Engel, the lead agent, and the presidential limousine slash SUV driver are prepared to testify under oath that neither man was assaulted and that Mr. Trump never lunged for the steering wheel. The other thing that we should point out, that President Trump was not in the Beast that day. He was in the SUV. And there's a partition in the Beast and the SUV between the driver and the presidential party in the back.
You know why that partition is there?
Why is that?
It is to protect
the president.
The person. Yes, yeah. Because it is basically a protective bubble. But the stupid American left public is taking the biggest piece of truth I heard in her testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You told the story, and the story that you told is the story that you heard. The key word is, it's a story, friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fable. You know, did I tell you about my fishing trip? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. The fish, they weren't biting, but, you know, I just have this, you know, this knack that I can catch the biggest, baddest fish.
Do you use a rod?
No. I actually just blindfold myself. I go out in a rowboat, you know. I take my hand, and I slap it real fast in the water.
And they just jump in your hand.
The front of the boat lifts up. And then
that has to
when
be
my
true.
Hand gets tired, I know I found the fish, and I just reach in and I grab that fish and I pull it out.
That has to be true, Beast. You said it.
It's gospel. There's no one here to say that it never happened now, is there?
God.
And you know what? I took that fish.
Uh-huh.
And I took it to D.C., and I walked up to, she'll never admit this, but I walked into Nancy Pelosi's office.
I heard this, yes, go ahead.
And I was carrying this fish with both arms out. Uh-huh. Go, Nancy,
yes.
Can we feed 500 people, 5,000? And she said, I think we can. You know, God is my witness.
I'm sure.
That's a true story.
You said it under testimony.
Yes, I did. I swear.
Oh, my God. That's what I've heard. You know, I got to tell you, people who believe this, they want to believe it, but I don't think it's selling. I don't think people are believing it. I listened to the different news programs, and like I said, this is NBC News. By the way, CBS came out with the same story this morning. I read you the Peter Alexander report that it's all nonsense. The thing that gets me, folks, is why didn't the committee say yesterday, well, if these people were there and you weren't, but you testified that they were there, we have to call them. We have to get Bobby Engel, the Secret Service agent, to come in and testify. They're not going to go near him because he's already said to the media, it's a lot of nonsense.
Well, I even question the food story now. I would personally... I would have sat there and taken my plate of food, and I said, where is William Barr right now? I think he's hungry. And I would have smashed that plate in his face because he is a line, you know what, because he got $24 million from Dominion. Tell me again, Mr. Barr.
Nobody talks about that. Nobody.
Yeah, and you know how I got that news? Huh. Now, this I got from an unreliable source, his SEC filings. It's in his tax.
Wow.
So wow. He is guilty, as far as I'm concerned, of perjury, because, you know he's lying. Okay, I got a bunch of money, but we're not talking about that. Yeah, there was no wrongdoing.
These guys hide behind the mask of respectability. They, honest to goodness, they do. The Bill Barrs, when we first met Bill Barr this time around, because he had been an attorney general before this time, but this time we were all adults looking at this guy, and he seemed so respectable, so reliable, so dependable, and it was all a sham. He didn't have the courage to stand up for what really was right. Neither did Mike Pence.
I got to wonder if Pence has gotten a promise or some money. And that was the other question I had about Hopalong Cassidy's testimony, because you knew it was creative writing. And by the way, when you do a creative story and you do creative writing, make sure you have your facts right. Was Trump actually there at the time of the alleged incident?
Which vehicle was he in? The
Was he really having lunch on that day at that time? Because the story is passed down from legend has it that Trump threw a plate because he was angry at Barr.
I believe your fish story more than I believe her story.
Well, you should believe the fish story. It's absolutely true.
I'm sure.
A lot of my liberal friends will back it up.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if anything develops. I got a feeling this may have been the death knell of the January 6th committee, because who are they going to get next that's going to want to sit? First of all, this young lady, she was an attractive young woman. She's probably 26 or 27. She has, they said, essentially no money to speak of.
Well, so, she probably does now. That was the point
other thing,
I was going to make.
She had her hopes up for going with the crowd to Mar-a-Lago. She had her hopes up for being one of the staff members who went to Mar-a-Lago, and they were dashed. She wasn't one of the group. She wasn't part of the group that went down. Yeah. So she was a young woman scorned. And I think we saw there was somebody who was getting her licks in. Now, what you're saying about money is probably a distinct possibility. Somebody probably said, you have a student loan and you have a car payment. How would you like us to take care of that and put a few bucks in the bank?
Well, how do we know they're not paying these witnesses to be there? Generally speaking, you show up in court, they go, hey, here's 75 bucks for your testimony for the day, for your time. I'm sure that they're getting money, and I'm sure, because it's on network TV, if you look at every politician, why, by God, they're a member of SAG. So anytime they appear on TV, they get SAG money and residuals. Did you know that, folks, that they get paid?
Somebody just said that this young lady, apparently she had an offer to be on The View already.
So Whoopi would love her. I mean, those two sycophants. Although Whoopi might even sit there and go, you're making this up and you're making me look bad, because at least when I make up a story, no, actually, Whoopi, you don't make up good stories.
If anything, this might be a witness who helps to make people realize that the whole thing is nothing more than a kangaroo court. Because a lot of people haven't been paying attention. The viewership on this thing is down.
Oh, so, Fox took it. They tanked with the airing. But
have you noticed, and people are pointing this out, somebody must have sent a memo from on Liberal High at Fox saying, we're changing the direction. You all either better get on board or get another job, because some of these people who have been reliable and conservative on Fox are trying to show their liberal side, including guys like Brett Baer.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Baer, who I always thought was basically neutral on whatever he talked about and whoever he interviewed. Well, he's starting to show a side that isn't very attractive for a lot of the regular listeners at Fox.
So he's got blue panties on.
I think so. I really think so. Yeah. He also, Brian Kilmeade, it was reported that he is.
I never liked him to begin with.
Well, he said nice things about you. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sure he did. I mean, he
loved your fish story.
He's jealous. Never going to live down the fish story now.
But I got to tell you, I will never, in all honesty, I just have given up on Fox and Friends. I did like Kilmeade months ago, but after the January 6th fiasco and and the steal, and he didn't get on board that train, I figured, well, you've heard the story about Fox. Roger Ailes, he was forced out. He was the he was the guy who really led Fox into what it is today. He took it from nothing and made it a number one news network. And he did it because he was conservative, and everybody who worked there had to represent that belief. It was a new place for people to watch. The liberals had CNN and NBC and CBS and ABC. Now the conservatives had a place to watch their news, and it was obvious to everybody. This is not a secret. But then they forced Ailes out. Then Rupert Murdoch, the owner, he passed the business on to his sons, who are married to very liberal socialites who go to the parties in New York, and all of their friends are liberal, and they like to be part of the group, and they influenced, supposedly, the sons to be more liberal with their approach to Fox. And that was the edict from on high. And it started during the returns of the presidential election in 2020. That's when they called Arizona, before anybody called Arizona. And by the way, they've proven that Arizona was stolen, and they never talk. And, you know, notice one thing. Fox will never mention 2,000 Mules, the movie. They have an edict saying no mention of 2,000 Mules on Fox. It is a respectable, well-thought-out, well-produced documentary that has been applauded by millions of people around the world, yet Fox won't give it the time of day. And speaking of that, I have an interview with Carrie Lake coming up, and she points that out. Carrie Lake is the candidate for governor.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, in Arizona. I had to hit the cough mic because I'm old-fashioned. A lot of guys nowadays on podcasts, if they have to cough, they cough. But I still hit the cough mic because I don't want to cough in your face, folks. But
yeah, those germs can spread.
I got to tell you know who raised her ugly head yesterday? We haven't heard from this lady in quite some time.
Lady in Iowa?
No. This is a lady who is near and dear to the hearts of so many on the left. A lady who was there. Their presidential candidate, standard bearer in the 2020. That's right.
She's back.
She was interviewed yesterday on CBS, and I believe they were talking about Clarence Thomas. You got to hear what she said. Listen.
Justice Thomas has sort of floated that out there about contraceptive rights and contraception and about same-sex marriages. But other justices have pushed back to say, no, he's really sort of on his own with that.
Well,
don't believe that?
Well, he may be on his own, but he's signaling, as he often did. You know, people, I went to law school with him. Mm-hmm. He's been a person of grievance for as long as I've known him. Resentment, grievance, anger. And he has signaled in the past to lower courts, to state legislatures, to find cases, pass laws, get them up. I may not win the first, the second, or the third time, but we're going to keep at it.
So you're saying people pay attention to
this? Yes, the people he is speaking to, which are the, you know, right-wing, very conservative judges and justices and state legislatures. And the thing that is, well, there's so many things about it that are deeply distressing, but women are going to die, Gail. Women will die.
Unbelievable. She has no shame. She has no shame.
And she's calling him out for being black. And she
Can you imagine if Trump did that to somebody?
Oh, yeah, that would be it. But, I mean, yeah, she said that he is what? He's full of resentment.
Anger. Resentment.
Grievance. Anger. Resentment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And worse, is this not the pot calling the kettle? Well, you know.
I know. I thought the same thing when I heard it say
Hillary.
That
Hillary,
sounds like
shame on you. Go back and crawl into your witch hut, because she's a witch. Maybe
she's the queen of the Clinton crime family, and she has no shame. She's been hiding quietly in the shadows for several months now, but I think she figures, ooh, this is my opportunity. By the way, folks, if you don't think she's going to run again in 2024, I think you are grievously mistaken. I think she's running again. She, you know, you have to remember what she was saying back in 2014 when she was asked on TV. Are you going to run for president? Oh, no. Who would want that job? And, of course, she ran for president.
She wants the job. What she's doing, she is the designated hitman that's coming. Yeah, I'm going to say hitman.
Yeah.
Coming after the right, because the Roe versus Wade thing is not the bad boy that everyone's making it out to be, but she's going to be there and get the small cluster of women that are making a lot of noise and rake them in all together, and they're going to do everything else. And they've even had a hit piece out in San Francisco on CBS out there saying, oh, the blue wave is coming. This could be the tip of the iceberg. And because they're going to use this as their rally to say, you guys, you've unleashed a monster, Kavanaugh and Thomas, Schumer there. But they're saying this blue wave is coming because of this. And that will open the door for them to say, steal, and say, it was because of
Bill. Timing is everything, right? And you know this, I know this, in our business, timing is everything.
Mm.
Their timing is off here. And I'll tell you why. The Roe versus Wade decision came down last week. It was the biggest thing. People were talking about it. There were people protesting in the streets. It was in the headlines. And now if you look at the headlines, it's not so much taken over. It's not the big story in the headlines. Now it's the January 6th thing. Before you know it, the dust will settle from the decision on Roe versus Wade, no matter what side of the street you stand on with that decision. The dust will settle, I believe. I don't think it's going to be the catalyst for a great blue wave in November.
But they're going to try to use it, I do believe.
And this January 6th thing, I think it has run out of gas. So I think this is going to be history. But you know what hasn't run out of gas? What hasn't run out of gas is the poor economy. The poor economy. Plus, if something happens between now and November in the Ukraine that affects us, if we get involved in a land war, if somebody fires a nuclear weapon at one of the cities in the Ukraine, if things get hotter in the Ukraine, that's going to smother every other news story. That'll become the story. And I don't think these stories that we're hearing right now are going to mean much. You know, this January 6th committee, John Eastman was the president's lawyer. John Eastman was the president's attorney, one of them. Very good attorney, very smart man. He went out to dinner with his wife a couple of nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out of the restaurant, he was stopped by the FBI.
So the January 6th committee has nothing to do with January 6th. The point of it is to punish the political opponents of the Biden administration and to make certain Donald Trump doesn't run again. And they're doing it with the assistance of the so-called Justice Department, as run by Joe Biden. So already the committee, speaking of Stalinist overreach, has had Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro arrested, neither of whom committed any crime. They've also had the Fed search the home of a former DOJ official called Jeffrey Clark, who we spoke to last week. And then on Wednesday, the FBI showed up to seize the phone of a former Trump attorney called John Eastman. Now, critically and illegally, they seized his phone before they presented him with a warrant. And it's on tape. Watch.
So go ahead and put your arms up for me. Put your arms up for me.
Can I see the warrant, please? I'd like to see the warrant. I'd like to see the warrant before you take my property.
So here comes the warrant right now, sir. Right
here. Here is the warrant.
Right. I want you to see that they took my property before providing me with the warrant. I'd like to read the warrant.
Disgraceful. Wearing his little mask, put your hands up as if Eastman is a threat. He's not. He's a lawyer. As you just saw, he's under subpoena from the, speaking of illegitimate, wholly illegitimate, Pelosi-Liz Cheney-led January 6th committee. Mr. Eastman joins us tonight. John Eastman, thank you so much for joining us tonight. What exactly did you do wrong to be treated like a dangerous criminal by your government that you pay for?
Well, we don't know because the warrant doesn't say. It authorizes them to seize my phone and all the information contained in the phone. But there's no indication of any crime that this is connected to. That's apparently in an affidavit, but the affidavit wasn't attached to the warrant. The Fourth Amendment's very clear here. When they search and seize your property, they have to give a particular description of the things to be seized. And saying it's identified in the affidavit, if they don't attach the affidavit, doesn't qualify. The courts have been very clear about that. So this warrant is invalid on its face. But more importantly, and I think this is extremely important, the authority to seize all of my information in modern smartphones, that's access to all my private financial records. I'm an attorney. It's access to all my privileged communications with nearly 100 different clients that I have currently. This stuff is what we used to call a general warrant that the British King issued to just go rummage through somebody's belongings to see if they could find evidence of some crime. The very reason we have the Fourth Amendment is to prevent that kind of abuse, and yet that's what they're doing here.
And it's just another reminder to anyone who didn't vote for Joe Biden to erase your texts and emails every single day. And that is a sincere piece of advice I hope everyone follows. But they haven't charged you with a crime. They've given you no evidence that they're going to charge you with a crime. But they treat you like a drug kingpin or a rapist and seize your phone. Is this legal?
Well, I don't think so. And they forced me in the position. Look, as an attorney, I have ethical obligations to do everything I can to protect the privileged communications with my clients. So we will be filing a motion. It's called a Rule 41 motion to retrieve my phone, to retrieve any information they've taken off of that phone that they have illegally seized from me. And we'll be doing that in short order. But you know what they're doing? The other thing they're doing is they're forcing those of us that, you know, don't bow the knee to the Biden administration to rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees trying to protect our constitutional rights and those of our clients. So let me ask people, givesendgo.com/Eastman, help us fight this abuse. We've got to stand together to fight against this.
So you're doing for yourself what the Republican Congress should be doing for you, which is so distressing.
They should,
Eastman,
but you know what?
Godspeed.
I think people have had it. Thank you very much, Tucker.
I hope that's true.
That was Tucker Carlson and John Eastman, mm-hmm. President Trump's former attorney. It is amazing how our government has changed in just a few short years. We have people who are in jail from the January 6th protest
mm-hmm.
that have been in jail since the protest almost. That's like a year and a half and haven't been charged, Bill. No charges. They're still
in jail. They
can't
charge them because there's nothing there unless they find a way to take their big lie and make it a truth, which is what they are trying to do. It was like Hillary's lie about Russia. But fortunately, it came out that it was a lie, but she is not punished for it. And now she gets to get on her painted white pony and ride to the rescue of the Democrats. And I am getting sick and tired of this. But you know what? I think the public is too, because 10 million people have switched parties mm-hmm. to, they've switched over. Was it 10 million or whatever it was I told you? It was 10
yeah.
million.
I think it was a million. A million. Wasn't it a million?
No, I thought it was 10 because million, it's a percentage.
I thought it was a million in a month. But and that's okay.
I don't know.
It was a lot of people. A lot of people.
Yeah, it was a big transition overnight, and it's a big red flag for, mm-hmm. and appropriately so, a red flag for the Democrats because it was Democrats switching over. Now, who was that guy that was the governor of Minnesota as an independent?
The governor? Was it Hulk Hogan? Not Hulk Hogan.
No, but he was a wrestler.
It was, I know you're talking about.
As that kind of, you know, yeah. Minnesota talk.
Yeah,
you know? Anyway.
I can't think of the guy's name, yes.
He's out there now saying, hey, you know, there's bad Democrats, bad Republicans. You know, don't vote for a winner. Vote your heart. And I was sitting there going, kind of true, kind of not. Because if you vote for an independent, somebody that's not on either side, you know, he says you're not throwing your vote away. Unless that person's got a snowflake's chance in hell to survive, you are throwing it away. So you've got to make the best choice mm-hmm. that you can. And that means turn off the noise, the network news, all the talking heads, and maybe even us, and just take the basic information and go out there and research for yourself.
You were talking about Jesse Ventura.
Yeah,
that's it. That's Jesse Ventura. See, that came right off the top of my head in my Google.
Yeah, I had it all up here in my butt.
Oh, God. Anyway, friends.
I pointed to my head.
The other thing that gets me about this situation was that the guy was walking out of a restaurant with his wife. The guy is in his 60s or early 70s, and they treated him like he was, like he said, a drug kingpin. He had they had him raise his hands. They patted him down. He really was embarrassed, too. They don't talk about the embarrassment that they put the guy through. This is a distinguished former legal advisor to the president of the United States, and they were treating him like he was a bum. There should be some consequences on the part of the FBI for doing that to an American citizen, a good American citizen.
Well, some positive news, though, for Joe Biden.
What's that?
Well, he kept one of his campaign promises. He did keep it.
What was that?
And well, apparently, according to an administrative report from the White House, it shows massive fossil fuel industry losses. Jobs are going away. The industry is going away. He said, if you listen to him, they would wipe out fossil fuel in his first term. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's done it in the first year. He's killed that industry. Elon Musk has come out and said, you know, the Biden administration and the UAW are powerful. Last year at the summit for, you know, electric cars that they did, Elon Musk, now everyone knows Elon Musk is the front runner of EV cars, right? That's fair to say. He was not invited because he's not a member of their club.
Of course.
So, you know, they got to punish him and kill his industry.
I'm sure he was disappointed. I'm sure he was disappointed. I also should point out that there's a lot of races are taking place right now in different parts of the country, primary races, things like that. And there's a lady who's running for governor in Arizona named Carrie Lake. She is a real sharp woman. She's a big Trump supporter, but she's articulate. She was a news anchor at one of the TV stations in Phoenix for a couple of decades. She is known by her constituents, and she was interviewed by Bret Baier. Again, this goes back to how Fox has changed. You got to hear how Bret Baier talks to Carrie Lake. She thought she was in friendly territory. They asked her about drag queens. Listen to this.
Obviously, as a candidate, you come under scrutiny. The Washington Post has a story today. It says Arizona GOP candidate who criticized drag queens was once a fan, according to a drag queen. This is the quote. Arizona GOP gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake, who has attacked drag queens as dangerous to children, attended the shows of drag queen Richard Stevens for more than 20 years and once hired him to perform at her home. Do you care to address that?
I do care. I actually do care to address that, and I'm really shocked. I'm actually appalled that Fox News would take a defamatory story like that, and we are pursuing legal action against this drag queen. I'm appalled that you would bring that up when you have not talked about our stolen election. You failed to talk about
it. We just spent three questions, Ms. Lake, talking about this. I just asked you a number of questions about it. I played the Arizona House Speaker.
This is the first of it.
Let's address this story that's in the Washington Post. Every candidate takes tough stories. I'm asking you to respond to it if you'd like to.
I'm happy to address it, but I'm really disappointed in Fox. I thought you were a little better than CNN. This is a person who I covered for decades, 20 years, and he's never been in my home. He says he's been in my home for a drag show. That's ludicrous. He's never been in my home. He's lied. We tried to serve him defamation papers, and he's so shady that we can't even track him down because he's not even welcome at the places he works.
I'm sorry, but this is the last question I'm going to ask. What about these pictures of you with him, Richard Stevens?
What about the
post? I've performed for Carrie's birthday. I've performed in her home.
That's not true.
I've performed for her at some of the seediest bars in Phoenix. I don't want to ask these questions. I asked you to address them.
I think you do want to ask them, but you don't want to ask about 2,000 mules. I think you do want to ask about this. This is absolutely ludicrous. I'm talking about drag shows in schools. This is what triggered this man. Somebody who goes to a drag show with female impersonators is one thing. We don't want want our tax money going into drag shows at school.
Okay, I understand and what you're making a difference the there, but you're I'm saying his allegations are wrong, is
They're
what you're
false.
Saying.
Yes, okay. I am. Right. And I'm really appalled that you would spend time on a false story like that. It's shocking.
Well, I think it's important to have candidates address things that are coming up that might affect a race.
True.
And I thought you would appreciate that.
But you didn't
that.
Ask my opponent, the establishment opponent who was here last week, you didn't ask her about her votes to allow illegal alien students to get a lower tuition than American students. You didn't ask her about okay. the 70 plus times that she raised tuition on American students. You didn't ask her any tough questions.
That's
and
not
here
true.
You have me on and you try to bring a defamatory story out. It's really sad. I
Ms.
thought
Licks,
there was hope.
I really appreciate your time. We thought we'd address all issues that are on the table. That is one of them being covered today. We thank you and we'll cover the primary August
2nd. Please send reporters out to cover this corrupt election. We would appreciate it.
There you go. What I found interesting was how Bret Baier, he was talking all over. He wasn't letting her finish a sentence.
Well, I was going to make a point here. An old tactic is when you're interviewing somebody, you know, make sure that, all right, I can sit here. We have levelers and everything, but I can bring the mic up and be right on top of things. Doesn't change the way I sound. But when you try to chime in,
right,
you're going to be lower than me because he wants it. See, I just ducked it down. You didn't
yeah.
hear it.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're drowning out the other person. You
yeah.
want to be in control of that conversation. And if she says something to defend herself that's true, you want to drown it out.
Carrie Lake was a news anchor slash reporter on one of the big stations in Phoenix for years, for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And she interviewed everybody. She went out and covered a story about drag queens, and there could have been a picture with her. She denies purposely having a picture with a drag queen, okay? But there may have been a situation where she was in an interview with drag queens and this person was there. You know, and also you have to understand this is 2022, and they can make any picture look like anything. To look at a picture nowadays and say, well, I have a picture of you standing with so-and-so, it has to be true. That is not the case anymore. It used to be the case because a picture tells no lies, right? Well, now they lie. Now I can stick my head on somebody else's body and look like somebody else completely, and you can't tell the difference. They can add color to pictures. They can erase people from pictures.
Even if a picture tells no lies, you can take a picture, or a picture could have been taken 20 years ago that was with you and somebody. You're like, what the hell is this?
Right.
Yeah, fine. Smile. Put your arm around him. Thanks for the photo op.
2 seconds.
You forgot about it, but here's the thing. The picture doesn't lie. Yeah, you took a picture with him. But the narrative that is attached to the picture, well, that can be the biggest farce in the world.
The other thing I want to point out about these drag queens in schools. When I was a kid, if somebody who dressed like that came up to the fence at school and started to talk to the kids, the teachers would have called the police and that person would have been arrested.
Right.
Now the left is trying to have those people who would have been arrested 20 years ago outside the fence, now they're trying to have them come into the libraries dressed as they would dress as a drag queen and to give stories to your children. And they're trying to make it sound like, well, it's the normal thing to do. For gosh sakes, friends, you know it isn't normal. You know it isn't normal. There's a handful of people who love to dress that way and love that environment, and that's their right. They can be that way. They can dress like they're drag queens. They can be the RuPauls, just flaunting around, having a good
old
time.
That's what they want to do. Power to them.
Yeah, that's their business. But they don't have a right to be in a public school with a bunch of minds of mush, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, little kids who are so pliable and so easily influenced. They don't have the right to be there. That is called grooming, and it is
well,
not something you should be paying for.
There's a lot of grooming going along right now. It's going around, and get used to it, because that's what the left is trying to do.
Well, I have other audio, but we have run out of time.
I've got other stories here too, but they can, you know, the nurse in Chicago and whatnot. We can get to those tomorrow because, yeah, we are out of time.
We have had such a busy day. It's been a busy 2 days, busy 3 days. It's a Wednesday.
I think it's going to be busy over the summer. Every day there's something new going on. And I'm still waiting for the next shoe to fall because we're getting a lot of this stuff has been out here now for a week. Mm. And it seems like a week is about the extent of the history of it. And then they're going, okay, we're starting to lose on this front. Let's drop another bombshell. So
I'm worried more than ever about what's happening in the Ukraine with Russia.
They're very silent about that. The missile attack that did take the mall and some people out. And then we're sitting there going, well, we're putting more missiles over there to the Ukraines. Such a friendly country. And,
you know, we're talking about a food fight in the White House and they're arming up the nuclear weapons in Russia.
One finger away from, total world chaos. Maybe the next big story is coming from right here in Pennsylvania. You heard about the horse and buggy that was pulled over?
No, I haven't heard about this. A horse and buggy were pulled over?
They pulled him over and I guess they gave him a drunk driving charge. Apparently
who was drunk, the driver or the horse?
It was the driver. It was a teenage kid, so the underage drinking and driving a buggy. I think what gave the kid away is doing the donuts in the intersection.
Hey, folks, that is going to do it for us. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow, Bill.
I'm out of here. I'm going fishing.
Oh, I want to go with you. I want to see how you do that.
Oh, it's a trick.